Sie hören Sport und Musik.
Das Spiel ist aus! Deutschland ist Weltmeister!
Mario Götze! Mario Götze!
Tonight, whether you call it football, football, or soccer, a German-American and a German in America dare to call it Fußball. German Fußball from an American point of view. Let's add some buns to that hamburger and join them for the Schnitzel Boys Deutschland Hour!
Right, we're the Deutschland Hour!
Yep.
Americans, the Bundesliga from an American point of view, and Bjorn, what does America love? What do we celebrate?
Leverkusen.
Winners.
Winners.
Oh. Winners. Like by a Leverkusen. I got my Bayer Leverkusen colors on. I got my lumberjack shirt.
Yeah.
Just the same. Leverkusen. I mean, I remember in 2002 when Bayer Leverkusen lost all three. They might be the only team that has a silver medal treble. They lost the Champions League final to Real Madrid. They lost the Pokal final, and they lost the Bundesliga on the last day at Unterhaching, all within like a couple of weeks. Michael Ballack own goal. Was that where? Was that in Real? Was that in the Champions League final?
Unterhaching.
Oh, the Unterhaching. Oh, right. I don't know if I remember. I remember the score. I remember the Real Madrid game. Zidane with a world class goal. However,
those days are over.
Those days are over because they finally, in the first time of their history,
Won a title. We thought it was never happen. We promised you at the beginning of the season here on the Schnitzel Boys, you heard it here, that Bayern was going to win the Bundesliga until the end of time. There was never going to be another team that would ever win the Bundesliga again other than Bayern. We said this before the season. We were wrong. I said I wouldn't believe it until it happened. Now it happened.
Although, it happened.
You know, there could still be some licensing issues. We could find out that it's all a fraud. I don't know. They didn't give them the thing yet. They're saving that for the last. But I think the possibility is now very strong that the Bayern streak is coming to an end.
So for some, you, it's still not 100%.
Some might say it's already happened.
I'm in that camp, but you're in the 90% camp. The whole, not only, so it's not, I'll believe it when I see it. It's, I'll believe it when the season is over and they've been handed the title.
Believe
and it's
it
been
when
legally
they when
confirmed.
They get the when they get that 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 ball, when they hand them the ball. That's when I believe it.
Well, it's
no,
looking
I do
good.
Believe it. No, I'm, I obviously I do believe it. I do believe it. Yeah, scenes in Leverkusen. Americans love Leverkusen. Yeah,
Americans that's love what I said. Americans love Leverkusen, the tiny Leverkusen. Cold suburb where Bayer makes aspirin, is America's favorite place. But they did it. Not only did Leverkusen win and break the curse, that's why it's called Megakusen, because they still have two new titles coming up.
Yep.
But also the Bundesliga curse has been broken. And finally, after 11
the Bundesliga,
seasons,
what's the Bundesliga curse?
That Bayern Munich is going to win it every year forever.
Oh, that was the curse. Right, right. The Schnitzel Boys Bundesliga curse.
Last year was close. Borussia Dortmund pulled it by a Leverkusen.
Choked.
Against Mainz in the last game there. And Bayern München won it. However, this year there's no choking. Bayer Leverkusen are the new Invincibles. They marched the title.
Haven't
they
even won. Lost yet. May
haven't
not lose
even
again.
Lost yet. And the way they did it can't be overstated enough. I mean, it was quite a miracle what Xabi Alonso and Bayer Leverkusen.
Oh, you mean the whole
off.
Season? I thought
the
okay,
whole season.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Very.
The whole thing.
Xabi Alonso gets a lot of credit, but also Sportdirektor Simon Rolfes gets a lot of credit. There are some bargains. There are some bargains in that team that were available to anyone. Boniface.
Old Granit Xhaka. Like
Palacios,
these players.
Granit Xhaka. Well, yeah. I mean, he came from Arsenal. He wasn't.
Yeah, but he was 34.
Everywhere,
or,
but
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
These are guys that are not like, they didn't have to fight anybody over these guys.
Right.
They signed these guys because they were of the appropriate level of a mid-table Bundesliga club. You know, like, who knew who Victor Boniface was last year?
Yeah.
Who knew who Nathan Tella was last year? You know, and then not only that, you know, I'm glad that Zeman Wolfis is getting his nod. However, it's Xabi Alonso, right? The belief he has, the system he has, he brought Patrick Schick back. He gave Granit Xhaka a purpose in life again. You know, like he did a masterful job taking what he had, which was, you know, a bunch of misfits and a bunch of mid-level, you know, Bayern München wasn't fighting over these guys. And he gave them, and he turned them into a squad. Victor Boniface was their star, but he was injured for most of the season.
Yeah, he scored his first goal this weekend of this calendar year.
He had these other players ready to go. Patrick Schick is like, don't forget about me. I'm still here. I'm ready to go.
I mean, Adli. A lot of Florian Wirtz, of course. I mean, there's a lot of people like Palacios has been very good.
Jonathan
Grimaldo, Alejandro Grimaldo, Jonathan Tah. Well, he's been there, but he got a lot better. He took a step up. Jonas Hoffman was a clutch, a clutch acquisition. I mean, I think it's both. I think they did a good job building the squad, and then Xabi Alonso put it all together. But now, you know, now this is a legit team. I mean, I think we talked about this earlier when they were playing Bayern. You were looking at the lineups and you were like, dude, guy for guy, you would not pick a lot of Bayern players position per position over the Leverkusen players. This is a legit team, and they could, you know, they could repeat next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited that Xabi Alonso's staying. And, you know, what they're saying is just like in the magazines are like, well, like especially with Florian Wirtz, it's like, where's he going this summer? And nowhere. I don't think these guys are going anywhere. I think they're staying. They want to play Champions League ball next year. They want to keep it rolling.
Florian Wirtz has said he's staying. I know that. That's pretty official.
And of the crop of guys, he's probably close to the top of the list as far as like the young guys with potential that a Bayern München would in the old days steal. This is what they do. They go and they steal, right? But Florian Wirtz has promised another season. Xabi Alonso has promised another season. All right, off the Champions League.
And why would you go to Bayern right now? I mean, they're a mess.
Yeah, they don't even know. Joshua Kimmich has announced that he will not sign a new contract until he knows who the new coach is. So take that for...
Oh, okay. Well, today I saw that Fab Romano on Twitter said that Julian Nagelsmann is the front runner.
Right. Yeah. He's apparently in Bayern.
How does that compute?
I don't know. It goes to show you... It goes to show you that the Bayern... The off-field stuff at Bayern Munich is extra big this year. I think it's bigger than it usually is, and that clearly had an effect on the field. And I think the Julian Nagelsmann thing was maybe a product of Kahn and Brazzo, and they got rid of Kahn and Brazzo, so now they can bring him back or something. I don't know. Bayern Munich, apparently, there's been a lot of history of Bayern Munich bringing coaches back. Otma Hitzfeld was twice. Jupp Heynckes was twice. I think he was maybe thrice. They've had coaches come and go and back before.
Yeah, but
this is different.
This is different.
Because it was very recent, and he was fired very ceremoniously.
Yeah, and he was fired, and we're like, oh, we can do better than you. And then, I guess not.
6 months later, no. I mean, I'm not against it. But shouldn't Julian Nagelsmann, let's say Germany wins the Euros this summer.
I'm laughing at David Reacher. Do all these guys live in Dusseldorf? They must, though. What are you saying?
Which guys?
All the players. I had a very...
They live in Cologne. They live in Cologne, don't they?
I had a very pleasant... When I went to the game in Leverkusen over in December, I had a very pleasant Christmas market experience in downtown Leverkusen. There are some... you know, it's not so terrible.
I'm glad you said that, Bjorn, because I do want to talk by mention and Mainz, but we see you. I know you're really excited to talk about your Mainz, but we got you. But I want to offer a little something, Bjorn. Please. I want to offer a little something for all of us. So 6 degrees of Stefan Schnitzel.
Oh.
I have a lot of family around. I got a lot of agents on the ground.
You have connections to every front office in the Bundesliga.
right now my family reunion WhatsApp chat is about my cousin Tomas, who's a huge Union Berlin fan and season ticket holder, getting tickets to the Pokal final for my cousin Martin, who's a huge Bayer Leverkusen fan.
Oh, okay.
And the coordinator, the Pokal is sold out, by the way. Tough.
Of course, always
the Pokal is sold out, and the club, before the clubs even knew they were playing.
Well, it's a big deal. Yeah, people like to go.
Yeah, but it's like a 100,000-seater stadium, and the Bayer Leverkusen fans now can't get tickets to it. I don't know. It's a little weird to me. We talked about the gray market. But anyway, that's not important right now. What I'm talking about is that I got agents on the ground.
Okay. Oh, yes.
I want to share a bunch of media. I've got two presentations. Not great for the podcast, but Bjorn, I'd like you to help me narrate a little bit. I want to share the scenes from Leverkusen, from the ground. I want to share how the people in Leverkusen party, okay? Let's get started here. Share screen. It will be this screen. You see this?
Well, they had a hard time. Oh,
can you hear it?
Turn the volume down a little bit, maybe? Wow, okay. Yeah.
You have to recognize it's compressed, unfortunately.
This
is my cousin's stadium. So this is another thing. This got me thinking because I went to MLS Cup last year. You know, in Germany, when it's done with, all the fans are allowed to party on the field with the team.
Mm-hmm.
In MLS, we're not allowed to do that.
No. I've seen this in Bochum back in the day. They did this. I once remember there was some... this was when they were in the second Bundesliga, and they, for the last game of the season, opened the gates. And this was an unremarkable season; we hadn't won anything. And the fans ran across the field not to celebrate the team, but to go beat up the opposing fans. There were like maybe 20 of the opposing, and they like sort of turned white and saw all these masses come towards them.
Old hooligan days.
In the old hooligan days. But this was not like that. They had a hard time getting this game to even finish. I don't know if you saw it, but it's like when Florian, you know, they let people kind of come down. They started to come down. They were surrounding the field. And when Florian Wirtz scored the fourth goal, people just could not contain themselves and ran on the field. And Florian Wirtz, while celebrating, was kind of telling them, no, you got to get off the field because, you know, if I don't know what he was worried about. Maybe if this game gets postponed or like forfeited or whatever, we lose canceled, the points. But canceled. So he was able to get people to leave the field, but then he scored again for a fifth one. And by that point, it was like 89 something, and the ref just was like, "All right,
nobody needs more of this." That's the difference between Bayer Leverkusen and Borussia Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund print out shirts and crap ahead of time. The Bayer fans waited until it was official, kind of. They jumped the gun maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but there was no cheering and celebrating until the game was confirmed to win. Now, Bjorn, quiz.
Yeah.
This year there has been a big development in German fan culture and soccer culture. We saw it with the national team, and now we're seeing it with Bayer Leverkusen. I'm going to play this, and you tell me what that is. What can you hear?
It's Major Tom.
Now, Major Tom. That's been sort of the German cry song, so we'll play Major Tom from the stadium. I need to change the audio.
That's a classic. Peter Schilling.
That's right. And they are playing all throughout German soccer now, and I love it. I think during the Euros, every time they score,
it's a very good tune.
Okay. So now they're out of the stadium, right?
Okay.
The stadium's done. Now they're in Leverkusen. This is how Germans party. Check this out.
This is POV. You are a Leverkusen supporter.
This is how they party in Leverkusen, David Ricci.
Yeah.
There's no tractors in Düsseldorf.
Tractor with the flag.
There's no tractors driving through. And look at the streets, everyone honking. Have you ever been... When I lived in Brazil in 2002, I was there when Brazil won the World Cup. Granted, they beat our Germans or whatever, so it's a little weird for me. But the whole country was at the same party. It's truly a sight to behold. And these vibes give me that. Like, the whole city is at the same party.
1990 was like that, when I remember. For the 2014 World Cup when I was in New York, but for 1990, I was in Germany, and that was a big deal. Right. Yeah,
I was in New York 2014. It was fun. It's not the same. Like, I remember walking in Union Square, and there was a guy with a German jersey walking my way. This was maybe even later that day, and we didn't say anything to each other. I just put my hand up. He high-fived me. We high-fived, embraced hands, and just kept walking. We didn't say anything to each other. It was just like a shared, like, hell yeah, Germany won the World Cup today. But, you know, but if you're in Germany or in Leverkusen, you get to party.
It's like
there.
This.
And everyone honks and honks.
You get to
honk
your horn.
Honk your horn.
I'm glad you played Major Tom because I was... I was thinking the same thing I was thinking when I was at the stadium in December. All the Bayer... You know, they have a few of their own songs and they're all pretty horrendous. The Bayer Leverkusen tunes... You know, commissioned by the team. There's like two or three of them, and people sing along, but you're like, no, this is no good.
Yeah, they can be pretty bland. It's not like, Bayer Leverkusen, let's go, or some crap like that.
It's just go with
one of the pros. I'm glad they chose Major Tom. Okay, so now that's done. You drove home to the stadium. It's the next day. You're in the streets, and guess what
the
Germans
next day?
Do?
What happens? Oh, there's a parade?
Fireworks, baby, up and down the street.
Wait, they had a parade the next day?
I don't know when this
is. Or they're just hanging out. This is just.
No, this is a. You'll see the team in a second. I don't want to know spoilers, but. Just want to share all the fireworks and for the viewers at home. There's a lot of smoke and stuff happening. Smoke bombs.
Yeah. Drinking.
Drinking
beer. Yeah.
Perfectly
beer.
Legal
we've
in
got
Germany.
We've got the rally sticks.
There's no open container laws in Germany. I'll drink whatever you want.
No, you can drink beer. It's not a problem.
And what are they waiting on? Let's go. Sorry, look.
So,
what we're seeing at home is we're seeing
the
team
bus. So the team bus arrives, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you if this was later that day or, I don't think, because it was Sunday night, right? This must have been this morning. This must have been Monday morning, right?
But then,
they're doing this. There's a guy with a flare there.
This must have been the same night. Why would
they
bring
him back?
Yeah,
it was probably afterwards,
right? Yeah. It's daylight savings. It's light out.
And so that's the video. I'd love to do a little slideshow now. Another beautiful visual element. Give me a quick second.
Very nice.
Here.
Very nice.
Is this? Can you see the screen?
I feel like
on thing?
I feel as if I was there.
Yeah, isn't that nice to have all our agents on the field?
Yeah, the agents on the ground. So what do you got now? You got.
Yeah.
Oh, a slideshow of photographs.
Where's the thing? How do I zoom in better here? How do we zoom in?
This is pretty good. If you just.
That's good? All right.
It's good
enough. So that's on the thing. I like this because I got two of these. I think. There's one. Now, where's the other one? Let me go.
So this is a picture of a security guard.
And his job.
Of a security guard. His job is to keep people off the field. But
I have a better picture that zooms out. It's even funnier. Where is it? Here it is. Look, see that? These two security guards are doing their job in the back.
Yes, and the
this
third security
guard,
screw
it.
He's like, I'm partying with Florian Wirtz. He's running on the field, and he wants to hug Wirtz. And Wirtz is like, what are you doing, man? We got five more minutes.
But that guy's my hero, because as a man who also works private security, I 100% would be this guy. I'd be the guy being like, screw it, give me a hug. We did it, Florian Wirtz, we did it. So there's that photo, which I like. The Bayer Leverkusen blimp.
The blimp.
Blimp flying through.
Very nice. Oh, Xabi Alonso Allee.
Yeah,
they're going to name a street after that guy for sure. He's going to get a statue.
And then this brings you up the Leverkusen, right? Nice German, quaint little town. Look, the Stadionbacherei or Buchner or whatever that is.
Stadion Büchchen. Büchchen.
What is
Stadion
a Büchchen?
Stadion Büchchen. It's like a little, what's a Büchchen? A Büchchen is like a little...
It's an imbiss?
A little shack. A little shack.
A shack.
Büchchen is German for little shack. So there's going to be a sausages there and perhaps some beer. Yeah.
And then here's the stadium here on the left. You were here when? In February?
December.
But yeah, look a little. I just, you know, look at these little German towns with the houses and celebrating the soccer. It's just.
Yeah, that's like German. That is German architecture right there.
100%. In German houses, the attic is to be lived in, but it is curved. They don't.
Yes.
They don't reserve the roof for storage.
Right.
Let's see. That's in the stadium. A better maybe HD photo of the whole
very
thing.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, people are on the field. Leverkusen, the Leverkusen pitch. Had been legendary for being in such good shape, you know, compared to other, probably not anymore after this.
No, I mean, it's better than the Monterey pitch from last week. Yeah. And then here, just this is, I guess, from a magazine.
This is just, well, that's a drawing. This is not a photo.
It's AI or something.
They have not received this die Meisterschale, or as Derek Gray likes to say, die Meisterschale. Die Meisterschale. They have not received yet.
And then here at the train station, auch
Xabi Alonso Allee. They changed the name.
So there you go. I wanted to share a little.
Well, very nice.
This is media you're not going to see on ESPN FC. This is private media. This is from the archives of Schnitzel Boys Agents. So.
That's wonderful. David Riccio says he celebrated their victory at the fabulously overpriced Schaller and Weber on the Upper East Side. Currywurst was only $10 and pretty good. I like Schaller and Weber. I mean, yeah, I guess it's a little pricey. It's not like Germany, but, you know, it's the real deal. So
Schaller
and
Weber makes excellent Leverwurst. The best Leverwurst you can buy here. The Currywurst, because it's a new stand. You know, I'm a big Currywurst snob. It's, to me, it's a little overpriced, and so it's like a little spicy. It's not exactly what I think of when I think of the currywurst.
Oh, the Charlotte Weber. Okay.
Yeah, the Charlotte Weber currywurst.
Oh, all right.
I'm glad it exists, don't get me wrong. But my favorite currywurst in New York City lived for like 2 months. It was on Bleecker Street. It's called the Currywurst Brothers. It was a chain out of Berlin. They opened on Bleecker, and they shut down a month later, and they never reopened.
Oh, I missed it.
And it's like, this is the only good currywurst I've had here so far. But anyway, David Rich, I'm glad you had a good time. I mean, the poo-poo. Maybe the better, you know, to each their own. Charlotte Weber, that whole area, Charlotte Weber, though, makes good product. They make good Langzieger. They make good meat. Charlotte Weber is legit. I love Charlotte Weber.
Mm-hmm.
They have my Fanta there that I can buy. But anywho, that is Leverkusen. That's the Leverkusen experience. I just want to give them the proper celebration.
Yeah.
We should thank them and German soccer as a whole as well.
And hopefully, hopefully they will keep that team together. I mean, looking at, Florian Wirtz is the big one, and he said he's going to stay. His, according to Transfermarkt, his market value is $110 million. Alejandro Grimaldo, according to Transfermarkt, $45 million. That was not the case before the season.
No, they inflated. But also, any of these players would get bought by a Chelsea or Man United and just get broken. You just never hear from them again. And then they get loaded back to the Bundesliga and be half the player they used to be. And let's stay at Bayer Leverkusen. And then if you want to follow Xabi Alonso to Liverpool or Real Madrid, then so be it. But after next season, give us another season, boys. Give it. Next year, Bayern München and Bayer Leverkusen going head-to-head, I want to see it. I want to see it. Zum Stammtisch is better, in my opinion.
What is Zum Stammtisch? Zum Stammtisch makes sausages?
Zum Stammtisch shut down. Wasn't the place on the... I'm thinking of Zum Schneider.
Zum Schneider in the East Village. That place is no more.
Yeah, where's Zum Stammtisch? Was that in Queens, maybe? I think where Zum Stammtisch is. But hey, more the merrier. Okay, so that was Leverkusen. We talked a little bit about Bayern. Bayern is still getting their act together. They had a good game against Arsenal last week. Did we cover that? Was Champions League? Yeah, Champions League last
Champions
week.
Champions League. Yeah, Bayern pretty good.
Oh. Yeah. And then Borussia Dortmund got a consolation goal there in the second half, thankfully, to pull it back. But Atletico Madrid had a pretty solid showing against them. But now with only one goal down, they go back to Dortmund. And with 2-2, they go back to München. So.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I thought Dortmund looked pretty bad for a lot of it. But then that goal obviously makes a big difference. And Bayern, on the other hand, looked like they had it under control. Then Thomas Tuchel was upset about that penalty situation.
That was the big talking point.
Gabriel kind of rolled the ball was live, and he kind of rolled it to his keeper using his hand in the box. And then the referee said, like, he cannot, in the quarterfinal of the Champions League, he can't call that a penalty. It's like a child's mistake. And I thought that was fair. I mean, I understand Tuchel also being upset. Of course, he wants another goal. But, I mean, I thought that was okay. I've had that experience in, like, kids' soccer a couple times where somebody scored an own goal and he thought he was just... And the referee's just like, all right, whatever, forget it. We're not going to count that.
Yeah, and, real quick, some Stammtisch is in Queens and Myrtle Avenue, so it wasn't Queens.
I have not been.
I think I've read about that back in the day, but yeah, I don't live in Queens, so it's always a little bit of a trek.
I think maybe I've been there. I think they had an NYCFC event there, maybe? I think I might have been there. Okay, well, great.
But yeah, so a little bit of context, because, you know, I listen to all the podcasts like a freak and read all the crap and, you know, send me get better source from other. And an interesting tidbit about that handball with Gabriel was that's how Arsenal has been doing it all season in the league. That's how they always do it. Like the way they play it is Gabriel like rolls it to David Raya. That's like a pattern that they do. It's happened like three or four times before. But I guess a Prem ref doesn't whistle right away. I think that was a unique situation because the Champions League ref had to whistle something right then and there. So it was whistled and it was like clarified that now is active play. But Gabriel's brain was just like, well, this is how we always do it. So he just picked it up and rolled it to David Raya. And so it is a penalty in the letter of the law, but that's not what we're arguing over. I think what we're arguing over was it proper for the referee to use the spirit of the law to be like, I'm not going to call that. You know, and I agree with you. I'm not losing too much sleep over it. That makes sense to me. It is stupid. Like, it is a penalty. You're not supposed to touch the ball after the ref whistles the game. But... is that what you're going to decide if a Champions League quarterfinal on? I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. And then the Arsenal folks shouted their penalty, which was not a penalty. At the very end, it was, escaping. What's his name? Arsenal forward, not Kai Havertz. He ran in and he leaned his leg on Manu Anoya's
Jesus?
Leg.
Jesus?
Was it?
Gabriel? I don't remember.
Maybe from the chat. You can remember the guy. Remember at the very end, Manu Anoya decked a forward as he was 1-1 coming on him. And Arsenal fans were like, well, that's a penalty. There is contact, but the forward moved his... He was trying to sell it. So the forward...
Right.
His leg extended to meet Noya's leg. And I think that's a good no call from the ref, I would say. So there you go. And another interesting point about that game... is Bayern Munich are such in shambles-ish that they've spent the last 15 years playing dominant ball that they can't do that anymore, so they're just playing on the counter now, which they haven't done in years. When was the last time Bayern München played on the counter? And they just pulled that out against Arsenal.
Well, Arsenal, they're a possession team. I mean, they had to kind of let them have the ball for a bit. Yeah, I think that was smart.
I think that's how Bayern's going to play the rest of Champions League.
They're going to do it now. They're now the underdog.
Yeah, they're the underdogs. So.
Bunker and counter, kick and rush.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, whatever it takes. And then we had Leverkusen in the Europa League, and West Ham got off cheap. They lost, I mean, the two late goals. And so I guess they're feeling pretty good with a 2-0 victory. But like for a long time, it was scoreless. And I mean, I think it was like 32 shots to one or something. Yeah, it was a real, very dominant.
Like 33, I think. Yeah.
Very dominant performance. But that's what they've been doing all year. The late goals are the Leverkusen trademark this season. They wear the opposition down, and then at the last few minutes, everything collapses. And that's definitely what happened for West Ham. It also happened for Werder Bremen this weekend, who were not that terrible for a lot of it. Like you didn't watch that game for in the first half, and you thought, oh, this is Leverkusen going to win this 5-0, but they did in the end because they brought in Florian Wirtz. Also, Xabi Alonso tried to do it while resting some people, but then Wirtz came in at halftime, scored a hat trick.
Yeah. Firstly, hello Hans Wolf joining the chat. Hello Hans Wolf. You know what was beautiful about the West Ham game is it was 80th minute. It was 0-0, but I wasn't worried at all. I was like, all right, it's coming. It's coming late. And that's exactly what I had. Bayer Leverkusen plays so beautiful that they are in control of the entire 90 minutes of the game. It's almost like a play. You're just like, I wasn't nervous one bit that they were going to finish that scoreless. I was like, I thought maybe it was only going to be one goal, but they got themselves two goals there in the last 10 minutes. As it's written, as they've been playing, they wear teams down, and then towards the end they can get a couple goals in. And it was just in their control the whole 90 minutes. So I'm very curious how it's going to look in the Olympic Stadium in London this week. I believe they maybe just a draw or something, but I believe the Invincibles will continue. And I, for one, am rooting for the Bayer Leverkusen treble. I don't know about you, but I'm rooting for the treble.
Sure. I mean, it's the Europa League. It's like, it's not Champions League. It's not a real... But I mean, yeah, good for them. No, I'm rooting for them for sure.
Don't pee on Leverkusen. Don't pee on the parade.
Liverpool is going to be out. They lost 3-0 at home to Atalanta. That was kind of a crazy game. Granit Xhaka came from Arsenal and won a title. Arsenal thought they could win a title. They lost to Aston Villa. So Granit Xhaka is feeling good. Another Premier League ex-person is not fared as well. Naby Keita just left his stuff and took off before the game. He was not supposed to start for Bremen, and that upset him so much that he just left in a huff.
Oh, really?
And presumably his Bremen stint is now over. Like, he's been...
I didn't hear that.
He came from crazy. Liverpool. Yeah. So, Premier League, Bundesliga transfers going in a different way. Naby Keita... I mean, Granit Xhaka got a lot of minutes for Arsenal. Naby Keita never quite broke through in Liverpool. So they've always been in sort of different trajectories. But Naby Keita, who knows what's going to happen next?
Well, you can't do that. Discipline's very important, especially in Germany. Just walk off in a huff. Coach is in charge, and you really got to do what you're told.
And he left his stuff. That seemed to really perplex people. It's like, his shoes are still here, and he just left. This is all just, Germans don't do that.
They don't have emotions. They're like, we don't know what emotional response is. Well, they
don't leave
like
their stuff. Don't just leave your shoes.
Germans emote at 70% max. They've never seen, they don't see 100% a lot. And this is an example of raw 100% emotion. Just like, fuck this. And I'm leaving. Keep my fucking shoes and underwear.
Yeah, I don't need these shoes. Yeah, come on.
I mean, I can imagine Naby Keita and a barefoot with a Werder Bremen kip just crying walking through downtown Bremen, just right out of the stadium. Through the Schnorrviertel, if you've never been.
I'm done.
Bremen, speaking of good Christmas market experiences, Bremen Christmas market in the Schnorrviertel, district.
Never been.
Oh, amazing.
Really?
It's like the real Harry Potter. The Schnorrviertel, the alleys are so thin. You like walk in this maze of shops, and every corner is a Glühwein stand, and you buy one Glühwein cup, and you can just refill it at every stand. Anyway.
The Leverkusen vibes were similar like that. We had some Flammkuchen?
Yeah, Flammkuchen?
some roasted salmon. They have roasted salmon on a plank over over an open fire. Yeah, it was very good. I got nothing bad to say about Leverkusen other than, you know, obviously Bochum got smoked. But, like, I mean, what else is new? Did you see? You got to see. We got to. I mean, you know, I really suffered last week. This Köln situation was pretty depressing. And I went into this next game against Heidenheim. I was like, well, it cannot hurt as much as the Köln game. And if you look at this Kevin Schlott, so this is like, you know, it's a scoreless game and late, it wasn't stoppage time, but it was like in the 80th minute or whatever. Kevin Schlotterbeck really under not much duress. Nobody else really around him scores an own goal that you should look up.
Well, I looked up the scores. I thought you'd be happy because you got a point. You got a tie.
Well, he then came back on the other end and he scored a goal to make up for his mistake. But it's like, you know, they needed 3 points.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, now we're supposed to be. I mean, this is like the Bochum mentality. You're supposed to get excited to get a point when you really need a 3. Anyway, did you see that goal?
No, I need to, but you got a point. I should watch that goal. It's good that he went and scored back. So what I'm hearing is it was going to be 1 point either way anyway, right? It's going to be a hard fought. Oh, you know, man. Heidenheim are no pushovers. Seba S. would love to talk about his Mainz. Real quick, David Riccio does believe that Dortmund, here, let me do this one first, does believe that Dortmund are going to pull out the Westfalenstadion. Good, optimistic, I'm rooting for it. To me, it's still quite a 50-50. I might be leaning more towards Atletico, you know, the way they were playing pretty well.
I think they're going to have some good, you know, I think I'm with David. I think they'll score some goals. They're not going to.
Yeah, I guess it is.
They're not going to keep them down in the same way, I think.
But Seba S, Mainz won 4-1 over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. They were behind and then they came. And listen, everybody's got still has hope because we are so bad. We're so bad.
Well, it's good that Mainz doing resurgence, but unfortunately, as Bayer Leverkusen are celebrating their wins in Megakusen, their neighbors, 20 minutes southwest, I guess, correct me if my German geography is wrong, Köln are the yang to their yin. The yin to their yang. Because Bayer Leverkusen's doing the winning, they're the treble. Köln is just going from worse to worse to worse. I believe they lost again over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
Well,
we have 27 points, so they gotta find 5 or 6 to get past us. We may not get another one, but they may not either. So, yeah.
Köln lost. It was against Bayern München. But they still lost over the weekend. And as Mainz and Bochum are making themselves a nice little 15th, 16th spot cushion, Köln are looking like, you know, right now Köln's looking like the team. Between Bochum, Mainz, and Köln, one of them is dropping. And right now Köln is in the front runner for being the team that gets dropped.
Yeah, I mean, we have five points on that. But we may not win another game. We may end up with like 28, 29 points. And can Köln find another 7-8 points? They might not be able to.
Yeah, but, Sag.
But Mainz definitely look like they're surging. So yeah, I don't know. Heiko Butcher is the new coach of Bochum.
That name kind of rings a bell. Yeah, remind me.
Well, he was a player. He used to play. And he's been coaching the U19s. This is an interim assignment. I mean, it's like,
Bochum man. He's right from
the
club.
He's a Bochum guy. He said in the press conference about how much he loves the team. And he said, I'm a very humble guy. I don't demand anything. You know, I feel like I'm ready, but
I'm
here for 6 games and then that's it.
That's disappointing because a really, 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 really great super coach just became available on the market.
I texted you.
Yeah.
Gerhard Struber got fired again.
Yeah, I looked at his last 2 results. He lost to LASK Linz and he lost to some other team.
And you wished him upon us. So I was like, so when I saw that he got fired by Salzburg, I was like, oh, Struber to Bochum is confirmed. But no. Heiko Butcher. Heiko Butcher. Maybe next season, over the summer, Stuber, you know, maybe. But
What a bonkers world that would be if my MLS coach a season later became your Bundesliga coach.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean,
that would be hilarious.
If we're talking seriously, it's not going to happen. There's no chance of that.
It's time for me to go back to the Zoitzburg forums where I warned them about Gerhard Struber a year ago, and they're like, oh, look, the Americans are telling us how to play soccer. Now I want to go back and be like, na, wie war das denn?
How do you like me now?
Wie war dein neun Monate mit Gerhard Struber? How was your 9 months?
A pregnancy with Gerhard Struber.
Boom, told you so.
There was a little bit of, because I mentioned Peter Stöger as a candidate. And Patrick Fabian, and he then sort of went public and said, oh, it didn't work out. I couldn't get out of my contract, and I didn't really, but I was happy that my name, you know, to get my name back out there. And Sport Director Patrick Fabian was not happy about this at all, and he said, you know, that he was not into this, and he's not looking for somebody who wants to put his name, you know, get his name back into circulation. If you're not into, you know, being Bochum coach, then basically you can, you know, take a long walk off a short pier.
Short pier. Is that wise?
According to Patrick, he also, it sounded like, you know, that Stöger made it sound like he had said no. And anyway, so there was a little bit of back and forth about that. Is what wise?
Whose side are you on? Peter Stöger or Patrick Fabian?
To be determined. I don't know. I mean, no, Stöger means nothing to me. I don't know why he's in.
He's a good veteran coach that wanted the job, apparently. I mean, if I'm sport director, maybe I take advantage of that. I don't know.
Even if it's just a stepping stone, if he's just waiting to go someplace else.
To what? Where's he going? He could be the next Bochum coach for the next 10 years. Who knows?
A lot was made out of that, a turn of phrase. He wants his name, get his name back into circulation. And Fabian was like, yeah, we're not here for that.
MLS for that. You don't use the Bundesliga.
Yeah, exactly.
For that.
Then if we wanted that, we could get Struber. So yeah. Heiko Butcher then, in the same spirit, was like, he's a Bochum guy. He loves the club. And if they tell him this summer to go back to the U19s, he's got no problem. He's totally, he'll do whatever. So that's
Aiden Terzic.
It's such a crazy, he's got six games, total binary outcome, either huge success or total failure. It's like there's no nuance. You don't get points for effort. You don't get any. It's like you got six games and you got maybe eight games if you have to do the relegation playoff, which maybe seems likely. I don't know. And then that's it.
What's the term again? Feuerwehr Trainer? What's the term of a
Feuerwehrmann. Peter Neururer used to be the guy who just would, like, you know, he would
bring
just
him back.
He would just sit there and wait. I mean, he's been like Bochum coach like what, three times?
Yeah, but he's still coaching. He's retired.
So yeah, I don't know. This time it's Heiko Butcher.
But that leads to our last topic, I believe. Let's do something else. But take a look down at Bundesliga 2. Hamburg dropped more points over the weekend.
Well, St. Pauli is trying to piss it away. They've lost two in a row. They're insurmountable seeming points cushion is dwindling. So
Holstein Kiel now leads the table, 1 point above St. Pauli. Now I'm just happy because both those are northern clubs. But Düsseldorf is now 3 points clear of Hamburg.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's still going to be those two, and Düsseldorf probably in third, I guess, if I had to guess.
I mean, unless Hamburg, let's take a look at Hamburg's last few results under Stefan Baumgart. I mean, yesterday they tied, so they got a point. They dropped two. The weekend before that, they beat FC Kaiserslautern at home. That's Pokal finalist FC Kaiserslautern. Then they tied at Fürth. Then they beat Viborg, but I don't know what that is. It's a friendly or something. Then they beat VMW in Wiesbaden. It seems like Hamburg is on a pretty decent string of results.
But well, they have to play. They play Holstein Kiel next at home, so that's not easy. They play also St. Pauli still at home, Braunschweig, Paderborn, and Nuremberg. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna say.
Well, what's for Duna?
Düsseldorf. Düsseldorf's gonna be third. The rest for Düsseldorf is. They're at home against Fürth, at Schalke, at home against Nuremberg, at Holstein Kiel, at home against Magdeburg. Yeah.
So a similar path. Both have very similar paths, don't they?
Well, they got one top team instead of two. And and at that point, Holstein Kiel may already be through two games. So they may... I don't know. My money's on Düsseldorf. Because Hamburg, I mean, they're just the chokesters of chokesters.
It's just that weird... It's that psychology of it all. It's like a habit. So it's that weird thing of like Xabi Alonso broke by Leverkusen's psychology to win it, but Hamburg SV are just the prisoners of their own psychology to keep choking it. They're like the fourth place teams every year. It's every not year. Easy. Gotta change it. We gotta change it.
We gotta change it.
Get a psychologist in there, Bjorn. Get it in there. Get a sports psychologist.
They always fix everything. And quick, too.
But. Moral of the story, big celebrations in Germany. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Bayern München finally didn't win the league this year. Bayer Leverkusen had an amazing season. Who would have been
unbelievable. Unbelievable season.
And also overshadowing Stuttgart's great season. I mean, Stuttgart could finish second this year. And they're not. But Leverkusen's still in the spotlight. It's a party for the other clubs this year, man. Let's do it. Bayern München could fall, so Leverkusen and Stuttgart can run. Dortmund and Leipzig, where were they? Just as relatively secondarily consistent as they've always been. So they're living their fourth to fifth dream. But the season's not yet over. We're still moving forward. And we will be here, Schnitzel Boys, every week.
All right.
Checking it out. Any last thoughts, Bjorn, before we move on to the USA Hour?
I have so many thoughts about the USA, but we're going to save that for...
Me too. MLS roster rules, games, other things. I forgot. A bunch of crap to talk about.
We won a game! NYCFC won a game!
That's right.
I saw it live!
At Citi Field, right? Isn't that the better place?
No, Yankee Stadium.
Oh, Yankee Stadium this week.
Yankee Stadium, yes.
All right. That's the Germany Hour. We got USA Hour. Just hop into the other room. Click the link and hop over
we'll
the other
room.
We'll
see you on
the
other side.
If not, I'll see you nächste Woche. Tschüss. Bis dann.
Or on the streams.
Bucket hats.
Buy those bucket hats, man. They're on Etsy.